What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, everybody. Didn't think we'd be doing a video like this today, but here we are. Mike Heck here from MMAfighting.com, reacting to some very big news on this Monday morning, December 6th, 2021. A very busy couple of weeks coming up in the combat sports world. Of course, UFC 269 goes down this Saturday. It's the final pay-per-view event of 2021. And then next Saturday, we were scheduled to see Jake Paul compete against Tommy Fury in a boxing match on Showtime pay-per-view. Now we come to find out that is no longer happening. Jake Paul took to social media, confirming some initial reports that came out last night that Tommy Fury is out of the fight due to some medical issues. He was forced to withdraw less than 2 weeks before this event. Of course, like Jake Paul or not, the guy does some pretty big business for Showtime. They invested a lot in the promotion of this fight, press conferences in different parts of the globe, promo packages, all of that stuff. And sometimes, folks, an important lesson, when you manifest something so passionately, when you keep putting it out in the universe, sometimes the universe will change its course. And that is what has happened for the former UFC welterweight champion of the world, Tyron Woodley, because he's going to get his rematch on 12 days notice in Tampa, Florida against Jake Paul. They fought in August. It was a competitive fight. Paul won via split decision. We thought a rematch might be possible with the whole tattoo bet and the aftermath. And although not the original plan, Christmas has come early for one Tyron Woodley. And much like his nickname states, he is the chosen one to get a massive opportunity to right what he passionately believes is a wrong. So with that, let us welcome in my best friend, the Prince of Positivity, Mr. Alexander K. Lee. And AK, I'm going to drop a silly 80s cheeseball music pun on the masses right now. In the combat sports world, this is just another manic Monday, is it not? Wow. Your reaction to this news that Tommy Fury is out and Tyron Woodley is in for his chance at redemption against Jake Paul.
Sad, Mike. Happy to see you. Happy that we rarely get to record back-to-back shows. We had just done onto the next one yesterday. So always a pleasure to record with my best friend, Mike Heck. But sad reasons that you and I are once again together. I'm someone who's fully embraced sort of this whole, you know, the Jake Paul, the Logan Paul, all the free show boxing stuff. And this is a very logical matchup. They'd build up to it in the right way, you know, with Tommy Fury being on the last Paul card. Not a great performance by either man in their last fight, but it made sense for them to go up against each other. Again, it doesn't answer sort of people saying, oh, Jake Paul needs to fight like a real boxer. But Tommy Fury fit perfectly. Reality TV star, has his own pro boxing experience. I think it was 7-0, would have been 7-0 heading into this matchup. So it was a logical way to go about it. I think it would have drawn more interest from certain demographics than either the Woodley or the Askren fights, of course, because Tommy Fury is a bit more of a celebrity over there in the UK. But we don't have that anymore. We don't have it anymore, Mike. We have the rematch, which has some heat behind it. I don't think any of us expected this to happen under any other circumstances than a replacement thing. I don't think after this, Paul was like, yeah, I'm going to do the Woodley rematch now. So yes, very fortunate for Woodley. Sounds like he'll probably be getting another nice payday, at least comparable, if not equal or more than the first one. And Jake Paul saying he'll give the chosen one an extra $500,000 if he can knock Jake Paul out.
Yeah, I mean, this is all pretty wild. And you sort of mentioned the interest of maybe the general masses, maybe the boxing community, because there are some people at least coming out of the first fight with Woodley that, you know, Tommy Fury is an actual boxer. I know if you add up the established records of the guys he fought Anthony Taylor and couldn't finish him. Still, people thought Tommy Fury, along with, you know, his half-brother Tyson Fury being a big part of the camp, this could be the guy to give Jake Paul the work. Some intrigue there, like you said. But at the same time, Woodley did have his moments in the first fight. But as I'm seeing in the comments right now, a lot of the things that have frustrated MMA fans about Woodley over the years, the gun shyness, if you will, that rears its ugly head in these fights, it reared its ugly head again in this fight. But when it was time to actually pull the trigger, he did. And he almost knocked Jake Paul out of the ring at one point. So Woodley, when he was on and he got a little angry and just went after it, things were very interesting. So you personally, AK, does this fight interest you more than the Tommy Fury fight?
Nah, I was curious what's happening with Tommy Fury. Keep in mind, as a honored employee of MMA Fighting, I did have the chance to transcribe the most recent press conference featuring the Fury family and Jake Paul. So I was sort of invested in it. I did. There was one story about John Fury, the father of the Fury family, really, really getting some vulgar back and forth with Jake Paul. And then Tyson Fury also, of course, was there and also had his words for Jake Paul. So part of me is like, why did I even do that if this fight wasn't going to happen? So there's some regret, some remorse on my part. And I wish that I would at least be rewarded, Mike, with getting to see these two fight. But from a competitive standpoint, there is some intrigue. Again, like you said, the first fight, not between Woodley and Jake Paul, not super memorable. It was tense, I guess, but I don't think anyone will go back and watch that fight. If anyone has even bothered to watch that fight again and be like, oh yeah, this was a real classic we need to see again. I'm kind of leaning towards wanting the Tommy Fury matchup, which probably will be rebooked at some point now with a little more steam behind it. But it is disappointing that we're getting a rematch, which feels very much like a second or third option for Jake Paul, as opposed to the Tommy Fury fight.
Manic Monday indeed, AK. Now, just from like an MMA perspective, I know this is a boxing match and things like that, but we've seen time and time again, especially in this sort of post-pandemic UFC era, and even in Bellator and some of these other promotions, maybe even in the boxing world, that when these big fights happen, and they happen on short notice, where like the first fight, we knew for a couple months, Tyron Woodley was going to fight Jake Paul, and he was doing all the media and he was trying to sell the fight and do all this stuff. And not only do you have to do that, but you have to get a competitive mindset to go in with all that pressure. Does the 12 days notice? Cause Tyron Woodley has done interviews and has said like, I'm training. I want to do four fights in 2022, four different combat sports. So the guy apparently is in shape. He's getting ready for competition, right? From a mental standpoint, does the 12 days notice, considering where both these guys are, how they've been getting ready for whatever was coming up for them, do you think this favors Woodley more, or do you think this favors Jake Paul more?
Yeah, look, it could be really good for Tyron Woodley. You do get the sense in his recent UFC fights and in his boxing bout with Jake Paul, the first one, that maybe he's overthinking things. He's a smart guy. I think he's a cerebral fighter. I think that was shown, and again, in his championship run as well. He's not this berserker. He's not this, I'm just going to go in there and throw wildly. He has a game plan for things. And I wonder if there was just too much thinking creates that, you know, afraid to pull the trigger persona that we've kind of seen from Woodley time and time again, and it's unfortunate we've seen that. So I, as you said, he has been training constantly. There was a report that at least maybe Dan Hardy had put it out there that they were trying to arrange a 12 round boxing bout to take place in spring of upcoming spring 2022. So I don't know how close that fight was coming to fruition. I don't recall Tyron Woodley addressing it. I do know that Dan Hardy was pushing for it. Of course, he's been wanting to fight again for a long time. So, but if any of that is true, then Woodley, it probably is in great shape. And yes, maybe without, they'll probably arrange. So we do have 2 weeks until 2 weeks until this goes down. So they could arrange some emergency sort of press conference, a Zoom call or something. But it certainly feels like less pressure, less distraction than the first time. So again, I by the way, I don't want to sell this fight too hard. I just can't imagine it being that different from the first one. But I will say, if you do think it's going to be different, there is reason for it. And that is a less distracted, less contemplative Tyron Woodley, who just has to go in there and fight. And he's been in there. He's done 8 rounds with Jake Paul now. He knows what to expect. Maybe he comes in with a slightly different strategy, more aggression. Fingers crossed for anyone who decides to buy this thing.
Do you feel like heading into the first fight? And I know like Ariel Helwani talked about it a lot on the return of the MMA hour, like how big of a moment that was for Tyron Woodley. It was almost like a must win. And he's somehow manifested this rematch to happen in the most bizarre circumstances, right? How pivotal is this for Tyron Woodley? Does the short notice kind of help him in that sense? Like if he goes out and gets pieced away for however many rounds this fight is, I don't even know, because we haven't seen an actual full press release.
We don't know yet.
It's going to be 8 rounds again. But like, let's just say Jake Paul just goes out there and just dominates him, whether he stops him in like the 5th round or he gets an 8-round easy decision. Do we look at it and say like, you know what, Tyron Woodley took this fight on 12 days notice, kudos? Or does he have even more pressure on this fight than he did heading into the first one?
No, this is Christmas gravy for Tyron
Woodley. House money,
man. He wanted the rematch. He may have got the tattoo. We still don't know if that was real or not. I'm sure people saw he put out the picture, the I love Jake Paul tattoo on his middle finger. Some people were saying it looked temporary. It was either a fake tattoo or it was a real tattoo, but in such a place and done in such a way that it will just kind of naturally fade on its own. So I don't know. I don't know how real the tattoo was, but at least he kind of went through with it. So in some sense, justice was served. But yeah, look, he wanted this fight. This is found money. He probably thought once the Tommy Fury, like the rest of us, once the Tommy Fury fight was booked, this isn't going to happen. I'm not seeing Jake Paul in the ring again. I'm never going to see him in any combat sports scenario again. The ship has sailed. So again, with Christmas just around the corner, this is going to be a nice payday for him. Again, we don't know how much, but if it's anything close to probably what he got paid for the first one, I'm sure Tyron Woodley and his team are very, very happy. So win or lose, people can talk about legacy if they want. If you're of the camp that this is going to sting his legacy if he loses again to Jake Paul, and if it's an even worse fight than last time, I understand that. But again, at the end of the day, legacy doesn't pay the bills, excuse me. And Woodley's going to be very happy. And I don't know if you thought his legacy was hurt by the first boxing match with Paul. I don't see how this could make it that much worse. So hopefully he does get a chance to fight in other combat sports in 2022. But for now, he's just looking ahead to this one. And I bet it's going to be a fun night for him regardless.
All right. Last thing before we kind of wrap up here. I mean, if you got some questions, here we go. We'll just kind of rehash this for anyone who just jumped in and is just like, what the hell is going on here? So we're here reacting to this news because Tommy Fury is out, medical condition of some sort of injury, or I don't really know the specifics, but this is what reports had said. Jake Paul came out. He had some obviously unkind words towards Tommy Fury, calling him the biggest fill in the blank in boxing. So you kind of have to feel bad for Tommy Fury because Jake Paul makes an interesting point. Now he's going to pay $60 to watch me when he could have been making millions to box him. So Tyron Woodley is in to replace Tommy Fury on 12 days notice. So that's why we're talking about this. That's why this is very big news. So last question for me, AK, do you think this fight goes any differently than the first one?
I'm the prince of positivity. Like I said, I'm optimistic. I think often we see rematches go differently, but Woodley looked like what he was in the first fight. We know he's a good fighter, but he's a completely inexperienced boxer. I know it's a part of all of his camps. I know it's something he prepared for. He really put the work in for that Jake Paul fight, but you don't just become this killer boxer right out of the gate. I don't care who you're training with. I don't care what combat sports experience you have in the past. Pro boxing is a completely different beast than MMA. And we saw that. We saw that. And yet also saw the worst tendencies of Tyron Woodley that we have seen in his unfortunate, you know, sort of last run with the UFC there. So I like to be optimistic, but I just cannot see this one going differently. Maybe it'll be unanimous decision this time. I think last time I had it maybe 6-2 for Paul, but again, the scoring was so flimsy. You could have it 5-3 Paul. You could have had it 5-3 Woodley. I don't even know. It was such a forgettable fight, but this time around, I'm still going Paul by decision. I imagine that'll be a pretty heavily favored as when the odds come around. And I hope to be wrong.
I think it's a little different. I'm leaning Paul to win again by decision, but I actually think the 12 days notice helps Tyron Woodley here. I don't think it gives him the opportunity to not really overthink things. I think at times we will see that frustrating to watch Tyron Woodley, but I think we might see more of the Tyron Woodley that fought Vicente Luque. He's just going to go out and just get after it and just see what happens. So, and plus if you're throwing another $500,000 to knock him out, you better go out there and try to knock that dude out for an extra $500,000. So we'll see what happens. And this is going to be an interesting event for a few reasons. One, you got this fight. Two, Amanda Serrano, great to see her back there and getting the pay that she deserves. Women's boxing needs this surge, and whether you like Jake Paul or not, he's providing it. We also have Frank Gore versus Darren Williams, which is super interesting. It's just interesting. Two guys who have been training in combat sports for quite some time. And then, by the way, we get Anthony Taylor versus Chris Avila. And you know who's going to be there more than likely? One Nathan Diaz will probably be there.
Oh, Lord.
So could we be planting some seeds, perhaps? Maybe. But if I'm Nate Diaz, I'm getting my ass to Tampa next week.
So we have the release. We have the release, Mike. It is now being called Leave No Doubts. That is what Jake Paul said in his video that he put out. It will, as it was scheduled with Time Fury, Paul Woodley 2 will also be a cruiserweight contest, 192 pounds, and an 8-rounder as their first fight was as well. So, yeah, everything else the same. December 18th, Amalie Arena, Showtime pay-per-view. Showtime, very quick to kind of throw this one together. And again, maybe to some people more appealing, maybe to some people less appealing. I'm not sure. To me, a little less appealing, maybe just because we saw Woodley and Paul happen already. Certainly, if this was the first time, if you're asking me what was more intriguing to me, the Paul Woodley match the first time or him fighting Tommy Fury, I mean, Paul Woodley by a country mile. But the rematch, I don't know. I'm a little cool on it. The press release is just saying a medical issue that impacted his training camp. That is the exact wording from Showtime for Tommy Fury.
Well, we wish Tommy Fury the best. And there is going to be one other person in Tampa that I can confirm. This guy right here.
Oh, my goodness.
This guy. I will be there. Oh, so,
Florida Mike? The return
Florida
of
Mike?
Florida Mike?
Florida Mike.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And hopefully, listen, so I've been to Florida twice this year covering events. This will be the third. BKFC 19 was the first one. I went to the Vitor Belfort Evander Holyfield card, which kind of broke my heart, but it was still kind of cool watching Anderson Silva do the damn thing. And now I get to cover this one. So bizarre coverage over the last half of 2021 from me. So I'm looking forward to it. I don't even know what to expect. I have no expectations, and that's probably what makes this best. That's right, Jeremiah K. DJ Heck grand arrival to Florida. We'll see what happens. So come say hi. And that's it. As you can tell, I'm feeling better, so I'm ready to go. So that's it. That's our reaction. Obviously, we'll be talking about it much more throughout the week. Of course, Ariel Helwani will be back with the MMA Hour about 2 hours from right now as you record at 11:01 a.m. For those listening to the podcast, may not affect you right now. Of course, Between the Links coming up this week. I'm sure we'll be talking about this more. AK will be there as well, taking on Phoenix Carnevale. And then UFC 269 Fight Week as well. So these next couple weeks are just going to be we're going to be sprinting right out the gate, and follow along with us here at MMAfighting.com. So for AK, I am Mike Heck. Thanks for watching. Get ready for some craziness next Saturday in Tampa. Have a great rest of the day, everybody. MMA Hour at 1 o'clock.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.